Good morning, church. Are you excited to be in the house of God? Today we're in a series called Roots. How many of you have been enjoying this series? When we're talking about roots, we're dealing with the secret things of a person's life, the invisible part of our life that causes certain fruits to grow. And sometimes we ask ourselves, God, why do I always have these things happen in my life? Why do I always have financial troubles in my life? I seem to worship you. I seem to do everything right, but same things keep happening. And God, through this series, is teaching us that sometimes there are some roots in our life that He wants to uproot. I said a few weeks ago that it doesn't matter how you dress up a thorn bush, and even if you glue some good fruits on it, it will still be a thorn bush. Because it has a root like that. A tree bears the fruit according to its root. Change the root and you will change the fruit. Today I'm talking about one of the most dangerous roots in the life of a Christian. And that's called religious root. Religious root. This is one of the most dangerous. Let me ask you guys a question. What made Jesus so attractive to sinners? And religious church people so repulsive to sinners? It's the roots. It's the source. Amen? Jesus was so attractive to sinners. Sinners love hanging out with Jesus. Sinners were repulsed by religious people because of religious roots. Let's read some scripture. Matthew 16, 6. If we can put that on the screen. It says this. Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. Okay, what does that mean? Then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. Doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense to disciples either. But it did. Jesus did have a point. When did this happen, you ask? What was the context of this? Why did he say this? Well, the context of this is this. Jesus takes 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and he prays and multiplies it, and he feeds about 15,000 people with 5 bread and 2 fish. And after that, he says to disciples, take heed, meaning be careful, be aware of leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. What is leaven? Leaven is a substance that you put in yeast, right? You put it in yeast, and then it spreads and it puffs up whatever you put it into. So most of the bread we eat has some sort of leaven in it. But once you put leaven, it spreads its roots into this lump of dough. And so what Jesus is saying to his disciples, beware of leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. They didn't get it. Just like some of you today are looking at me like, what does that mean, Pastor? What is the leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees? They're like, oh, I think it's because we forgot the bread. Remember this. Watch what happened. After Jesus fed about 15,000 people, Bible says 5,000 men plus women and children. So that could have been about 15,000 people. He said to them, go ahead and collect the leftovers. So they go and collect 12 baskets. Out of 5 bread and 2 fish, 12 baskets. And conveniently, they forgot the bread. So they're thinking, Jesus is saying, you forgot the bread, you dummies. What'd you do with the bread? And he's like, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about your attitude and your spirit. Be careful of the spirit or attitude of Pharisees and Sadducees. Who were the Pharisees? They were religious leaders in the day when Jesus lived. Sadducees didn't believe in heaven, but they were religious. How can you believe in God and not believe in heaven? That's Sadducees. They were really dumb. At least Pharisees, they believed in afterlife. Sadducees didn't. What? And they were religious leaders of those days. Really, we have today, in our day, we have Sadducees too. There's a lot of Christian churches that don't believe in hell anymore. They don't believe in the Bible anymore. They're like, you know, there's many ways to God. And many of them, especially a lot of professors and colleges and influential Christian writers, they don't believe in heaven anymore. I was talking to a friend. This was about 5 years ago. He's a businessman here in town. And I was inviting him to church, you know. I'm like, hey, I go to church. It's changed my life. Come with me, you know. He said, one day I came to my dad, and he says, my dad is very religious. He's involved in a church. He was on the boards, different, this board and this committee and this thing. And he's very involved in a church. And he said, one day I came to my dad and I said, Dad, what happens when you die? And his dad says, well, go and turn the TV to channel 500. I think it's channel 500. It's been a while. So he goes into to the TV room, turns the channel to 500, and there's static. He says, Dad, there's nothing there. And this man, who served on the committees in the church, probably an evangelism committee, outreach committee, different committees, does not believe, here in Sioux Falls, does not believe in heaven. What happens when you die? He goes to church not believing what the Bible says. He's a leader in the church not believing what the Bible says. Sadducees. We got those two, and we got Pharisees. So Jesus says to them, be careful of these people. Be careful of this spirit and this attitude. Why would he say that? Why would he say that? They just fed 15,000 people. Jesus, the answer is this. Jesus noticed something in the attitude of his disciples. Imagine taking, the disciples were the one who was given the bread away. They were given the bread and fish. Here, take some. People, thank you so much. Here, take some. Take some more. Thank you so much. And so before you knew it, disciples started to feel the spirit of pride coming into their life. And Jesus, as a good teacher, noticed the root beginning to grow. The seed began to germinate in their heart, the seeds of Pharisees and Sadducees. And he says, beware, be careful, don't you become like them. Right after they did that, in another gospel, it talks about how they were walking through a town, and Jesus said, see if you can find us a room in this town so we can stay overnight. Well, his disciples go into this town, and this town says, there's no room for you here. You're not welcome here. Get out of here. So John and James say to Jesus, let me read this for you because this is kind of cool. Luke chapter 9, verse 54 through 56. And when his disciples, James and John is the disciple of love. He's the one that wrote the book of John, and then 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. He's the one who wrote the book of Revelation. This is the apostle of love. Listen to what he says. And then his disciples, James and John, saw this. They said, meaning people, don't let them in. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, burn them just like Elijah did? But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what matter of spirit you're of. You don't have the spirit of God in you. You have the spirit, the attitude of Pharisees and Sadducees. And the Pharisees and Sadducees' attitude, you got to be careful, Christian, because after being a Christian a while, you can have that attitude of Pharisees and Sadducees. What do you mean? Don't you know who we are? We came to your town. Don't you know who we're with? Never mind him, but do you know who we are? We just fed 15,000 people with 5 bread and 2 fish. We just healed people, cast out demons. Don't you know who we are? How dare you, religious spirit? The attitude of Pharisees and Sadducees coming in. Beware of that. That's the root beginning to grow. Better than thou, the root of pride and religion begins to grow in them. And Jesus says, don't you dare get a heart of Pharisees and Sadducees. That's not what I am. He says, you do not know what spirit you're with. Look at this. This is a key scripture. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy man's life or to kill man's life, but to save them. That's Christianity. Why it's so different from every other religion. This is the key. For the Son of Man, for Jesus Christ, did not come to destroy man's life, but to save them. He's not looking for whips. You know, in a Congress, in the Senate, they have a whip. Meaning the guy who gets it done. God is not looking for whips to get his word across. If you want to be a whip, you're in the wrong religion. There's a religion that uses a whip. And we fight against it right now. Our country is in war against it. Actually, the whole world is in war against it. Jesus Christ said, I did not come to kill, but to save the lost. As a Christian, you cannot get an attitude that I got to whip people into the kingdom of God. I got to force people into the kingdom of God. And I got to admit it, that I struggle with a religious spirit. I struggle with a religious root. After a while, when we started a church, after a while, we started seeing lots of people coming to Christ. As these people were coming to Christ, as a young leader, I was so zealous and passionate for God. I was like, you know, you got saved. Now you got to live the life. And if you know anything about people, people are stubborn and they're slow. They don't change right away. Right? It takes time for God to transform the life of a person, and the person has to want it. So I kind of got religious there for a while. It's kind of a whip for Jesus, you know? I took a whip, and I quoted a scripture, which is out of context, that Jesus took the whip too. I'm like, this is what you need to be a Christian. You got to dress this way. You got to stop doing this and this, and you got to stop doing this and this. And before I knew it, their heart was not changing. They were faking it in front of me. When they would see me, they would act a certain way. And when they would be living their life, they would be totally different. And I was like, I don't want to be. I don't think God called me to be a whip for Jesus. He called me to love people, to preach the good news. See, there's two positions how you can transform a life. You can do it with a whip. That doesn't transform anybody. That's why Pharisees couldn't do. Or through love of God. There's two ways. Religious people, Pharisees and Sadducees, they chose a whip. That's why they came against Jesus so much. Okay, let's talk about what is a religious root. Let's just get into that quickly. Religious root is a counterfeit spirit that seeks to substitute relationship with God for religious activity. Okay, write this down. Religious root is a counterfeit spirit that seeks to substitute relationship with God, real relationship with God, for religious activity. Huh. Satan is smart. If you were Satan, you would be smart too. You understand that these people believe in God right here in the church. So they already believe in God. So it would be a waste of time trying to make him an atheist. He's still going to try. But what he understands is if he can make you focus on the rules and religious activity and not having that personal relationship with God, he won the war. He won the battle. He doesn't mind you quoting, I love God, but I'm a whip. But I'm just going through religious motion. He doesn't mind that. Okay, so relationship with God for religious activity. Power of the Holy Spirit for religious activity. Its primary goal of this religious spirit, and I'm going to use this word interchangeably, religious spirit and a religious root. Its primary objective is to go through the motion, religious forms and rituals, and reject the power of God. That's what it is. Pharisees were going through religious motion, and they were forcing other people to go through religious motions and not be in relationship with God. 2 Timothy 3:5 says this, having the form of godliness, but denying its power, from such people, turn away. They act all spiritual. They have the form. They look religious. They dress a certain way. They kneel a certain way, but they have no knowledge of God. There's no relationship. There's no love flowing out of them. He says, turn away from such people. Dangerous root of religion. You know where it started? It started in the Garden of Eden. Eve and Adam had a great relationship with God. Satan comes in and says, that's not enough. You need to know the knowledge of good and evil. Right? The knowledge. What is that knowledge? He didn't tell him. But you gotta have it. What is it? Well, it's gonna make you die. Well, don't worry about that. But it's knowledge. You don't have it, and you can't have it. They already have the knowledge of good, right? The evil is what was added. So Eve had a relationship with God, and she traded it for some knowledge. Relationship for knowledge. And that's what religion wants to do to you. Wants to take relationship and give you just the dead knowledge. And Bible says this, knowledge puffs up. But it's the spirit that gives you life. Do you just have the knowledge? There's a lot of religious people in the world. They claim to be Christians, but they have no relationship. They have no that connection with God. They just have the knowledge. A lot of atheists have more knowledge than you do. And they hate God. So it's not just the book smart knowledge that you have or verses that you can quote. Be careful of that attitude of Pharisees and Sadducees. She had the knowledge but lost the relationship. Point number two, religious roots begin with the seed of pride. Write this down. Religious root begins with a seed of pride. And pride is the greatest sin you can commit. Pride is the greatest sin. It's not some sexual sin. It's not some pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven. Pride says it's not enough for you to be who God created you to be. You have to be somebody else. You have to act like somebody else. You have to be puffed up. That's what leaven does, right? It puffs up. It doesn't add substance. It doesn't add nutrition. It just puffs up. And Bible says God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. If you are going to accomplish anything in this world, you need grace of God. And if you are proud, which we all are to some point, God will resist you. And I don't want God to resist you or me. John, would you come up here? Come up. You're God. I'm proud man. I'm going towards you. What do you do? You almost knocked me out, man. So God, you're going for your goal. What you're asking God, help me with this. And God does what? Pushes you back. Thank you, John. God resists the proud. Have you ever felt like God resisted you? Religious root begins with a seed of pride. Serpent said to the Eve, you can be like God. Hold on. Number one, Bible says she was created in the image of God. There can only be one God. There can only be one you. Satan was also in heaven, the most beautiful creature. And listen to what happened to him. He said, I want to be like God. Not in a sense, I want to love like him. I want to have the same character like him. No, he says, I want to take his place. Whenever a person wants to take a place of another person, that's why it's so dangerous for you or me to want to be somebody else. God already created you who you need to be. And you need to discover who you are instead of trying to compete with other people and with gifts that they have but you don't have. God wants you to be you. So many people live this life not knowing who they are, what their call is, what God's purpose is for their life. So they're trying to be like everybody else. This happens to religious leaders too. We try to be like this preacher and this person and this senior. Be you. Be you. The best musicians, the singers, are those who are uniquely them. And when you watch American Idol, you see people copying. By the way, one of our ladies here is going to be on a Voice. So she said on Facebook, so I'm but anyway, sometimes you have somebody, they copy, they look, they talk like a certain star. And they're like, you're just a copy. We don't want, and you're bad copy of that person. Be you. See, God wants us to be us. But Satan comes and says, what you are is not enough. What God put in you is not enough. You're nothing. So you have to be like this or that person. Pride. Seeds of pride. Seeds of pride operates like leaven in bread. It does not add substance or nutritional value to the bread. It only inflates it. Listen to this. Pride is the most difficult stronghold to correct or remove. Last time I preached on pride, I had somebody come to my office and say, Pastor, I don't have any pride. And I'm like, be careful. Because the Bible says everything in the world is pride of eyes, pride of the flesh, pride of life. I mean, we're full of pride. As long as you have sin, you got pride. Now, some people have more pride than others. And yours might be a little invisible, but it's still there. Be careful. Be careful of pride. A person struggling with pride probably will never admit it. But we all struggle with pride. Paul struggled with pride, religious pride. And he went and persecuted the church. And God had to knock him down from his high horse. When people struggle with pride, sometimes God, because he loves us, the only way to remove pride is he knocks us down. Sometimes we find our identity in our job and look who we are and how high we have risen in our company. And then God just cuts it down. And you're like, who am I now? And you realize that your identity cannot be in your job. Religious roots keep us from hearing God's voice. Why? Because it makes us believe that we already know him and we don't need to know anymore. That's why some people, even in this church, will fall asleep. I mean, I use so much energy. You know how much weight I lose during each sermon? 50 minutes will 15% of weight. No. Right? But some people will sleep because I know it all already. Because they're listening with their brain and they're not listening with the heart. Because Bible says this, the word of God is living and powerful. If you receive it with your spirit, it will make you come alive. By the end of this sermon, some of you will be so alive, you want to jump. Right? You want to be like, yes! Why do I get excited about the word? Because in order for me to preach, I have to study all week. And by the time the end of the week comes, I'm so full of this word of God. I just cannot be quiet. You know, I just cannot be like this. And God said, you know, you need to remove the religious pride. I just want to tell you about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Religious root begins with a seed of pride. That's point number two. Point number three, religious spirit attaches itself to a zealous person. Romans chapter 10 verse 1 through 4 says this. Paul is writing about his people Israelites. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And this is not talking, they have the knowledge of the scriptures, they have no knowledge of God. Okay, there's a difference. Knowledge of God is what we want through the scriptures. It's not just quoting scriptures that we want to know. Have you ever had a person quote scriptures and it John 3:15 and he would quote another scripture, Luke 5:3, and you realize it's not because he knows the scripture, she knows the scriptures, because they're showing off, religious. That's what Pharisees and Sadducees did. They just showed off how much they knew scripture. So religious root attaches itself to a zealous person. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to righteousness of God. So let me read that again. Go back. For they, the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Next verse, 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Wow. That could take a whole message by itself. So we're not going to do that. But Christ is the end of the law. Religious root, religious spirit tells you, go through the motion. And this is what you do. Christ says, no. Come to know me. Come to know me. Have a relationship with me. Worship me. Not the rules, not the regulations, not the denominational preferences. Or, you know, in our denomination, we pray on our knees, brother. Why aren't you praying on your knees? In our denomination, we only wear long skirts. By the way, I had a friend. I got to tell you this. I had a friend who I grew up with, and his parents were very Christian people. He totally walked away from God, totally a prodigal son. And one day he comes to me, he says, when I become a Christian, I know I will become a Christian someday. Totally a player, totally. I mean, drugs, women, all kinds of stuff. But then he tells me, when I became a true Christian, my wife will not wear pants, she'll wear a skirt. And I'm like, number one, you're not a Christian yet. You're saying that yourself, when I become a Christian. And now he's saying I have to make my wife wear something. And I know his wife, she doesn't wear long skirts. She told him who's the boss. But that's what religious is. You notice he didn't say, when I become a true Christian, I will fall in love with Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to love like Jesus, serve like Jesus. No. My wife will wear a long skirt. Why don't you wear a long skirt, brother, after you get saved? There's a reason why when you invite people to church, sometimes they don't want to come because they think you're going to put so many rules and laws upon them. And notice, Jesus was never hated by sinners. It was Pharisees and Sadducees who were hated by sinners. Sinners loved Jesus. You want to be like him? I want to be more. I remember in my young days as a preacher, I was preaching to one guy. And I said, Kevin, you will go to hell if you don't change. And he said, fine, I'll go to hell. I don't care. And I'm like, oh, that's effective evangelism. You cannot whip somebody into heaven. You can only point them to and love them to a relationship with God. But Pharisees is the opposite. No, you got to become like us. You got to go through the motion like us. You got to wash the outside. You got to wash the pots and pans. And Jesus says, you got to wash the heart. Pharisees say, you got to wash the pants and hands and all kinds of things. Jesus says, you got to wash the heart. Pharisees says, you need to be circumcised. Paul says, no, you got to circumcise your heart. Cut the flesh off your heart. Cut those desires off your heart. Cut them off. And only you can do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2 says, it is by grace that we have been saved through faith and not of our own works, that no man will boast. Religious people said, we are saved by our works. It's what we do for God. And Jesus says, no. Your works, if they could have saved you, Jesus Christ didn't have to come to this world. Because by work of the flesh, no man can be saved. It is through righteousness of God that we're saved. Don't allow the religious spirit to come and tell you you're not good enough. You fail. God already knows you're not good enough. Jesus said to Peter, you're a rock. I will build a church on you. And the gates of hell will not destroy it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of God. A few minutes later, Peter says to Jesus and rebukes him and says, I will not let you go to the cross. There's no way I'm going to let it happen. Like he's in charge, right? And then Jesus turns to him and says, stand behind me, Satan. But notice he never goes back and takes the keys from heaven, kingdom of heaven, right? Notice God knows that you are messed up. Don't act all, that in a bag of chips. Don't act all that. God knows you're not. And that's why we are at this church. We just don't act. I tell you my weaknesses. I tell you what I'm struggling with because I don't want you to put a halo over my head, because it's not true. We all struggle. We all got issues. I used the example a long time ago. One person fell into a sewer up to here and another just up to here. Both stink the same. See, some of you are good Christians, but you're still up to here. Some of you are working on it, and I'm not even going to Pastor Andre's story and what happened to him when he was a kid. Thank God he was rescued. Religious spirit attaches itself to a zealous person. Now, is it bad to be zealous for God? No, Bible teaches us that we should be zealous for the Lord. But what religious spirit does, he says, now you're perfect. And so you need to go and force other people to be like you. And the problem is, you might get two things or three things right in your life, but you still got some stuff that you don't. See what I mean? And so don't act like you're perfect. And so this zealous, it's just false zealousy. Paul says, I was zealous, but I didn't know what I was doing. Let's keep going. Point number four, religious spirit is a persecuting spirit. Persecuting spirit. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says this, for you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism. I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for traditions of my fathers. So he was so zealous for God, thinking he was doing the work of God, he was persecuting the church. Religious spirit is a persecuting spirit. Jesus was not persecuted by unbelievers, by atheists. He was persecuted by religious people. He was not even killed by the Romans. The Romans wanted to rescue him. Pilate says, what has he done? Let's just whip him and let him go. That's what Pilate said. No, crucify him. It wasn't the Romans that killed, the pagan Romans that killed Jesus. It was religious people. In the life of Paul and the first century church, it wasn't the unbelievers who were causing chaos and stoning of Paul and beating and putting him in prison. It was religious people. No matter where he went, religious people would attack him and try to destroy him. From first century church till now, that religious spirit, that religious root, wants to destroy true righteousness, true people who are faithful to God. Be careful. of that spirit. It can attack anybody. It doesn't just attack zealous people, it attacks anybody. It's just you see it more in a vocal people, in a leader's people, but it attacks anybody. And before you know it, you do not know God. You just follow the false religion. And I was convicted by this message because I see in my life where I became religious. And I don't want to be. And today I think it's a wake-up call to the church. Hey, come on, are we pursuing God? Are we having the heart of God? Do we want to know God more? Or do we just, now we got this church going, it's pretty good, it's growing, let's just keep it safe and religious. No. We got to pursue God with all our might, heart, soul, strength. We got to love people enough to invite them and bring them to church with us. Amen. Our vision is here, bringing people far from God closer to Jesus. You have a role to play. Jesus commands every believer to go and bring somebody closer to Jesus. Did you know that Antichrist at the end time will be a religious leader? And he will sit in a seat of a temple and they will allow him. And he will sit in a temple declaring himself God. Be a religious leader. Antichrist will be religious. So religious spirit is a spirit of Antichrist. And if you're not careful, you could be acting with that spirit. Notice Jesus could cast out any demon, but not religious spirit. Jesus could cast out any spirit. They all begged him, please leave us alone, Jesus. Not religious. Because religion is so attached to your identity. And he cannot cast your identity out. You see? It's dangerous. And I want, as the church is growing right now, and God is moving and doing great things, and I hear so many testimonies, don't become religious. Seek to know God, not the rules. As our church grows, we're going to change. We're going to do things differently. Don't say, well, we used to do it like this, Pastor Alex. Why don't we do it like that anymore? Hold on. That's just a method. You can wear 80s clothes if you want, you know? You can listen to the 80s music if you want. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's when you start forcing other people to wear that clothes or listen to that music. That's the problem. You got a religious spirit in you. It needs to be uprooted. And sometimes, I'm telling you, that's why Jesus says, beware of leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees. Because it's hard to uproot. The only way is to knock you off your horse. The only way to remove that spirit is not to knock you off the horse. So don't even play with that spirit. I want a church that pursue God, who wants a relationship with God. I want to pastor a church that's loving church. I want to pastor a church that looks at their own plank in their own eye and not worries about the speck in somebody else's eye. Don't come to me and start pointing people's specks, because I see that's a red flag for me that you are not dealing with your own. Sometimes I've noticed people are dealing with something, some sin in their life, and instead of attacking their own sin, they come to you and say, Pastor, do you know what so-and-so is doing? I'm like, what are you doing, man? Did you get into porn? Oh, well, no, well, maybe. Oh, so you got to deal with your own self, brother. Amen. Happens more often than you know. Aye. Where are we going? Religious spirit is a persecuting spirit. What are some of the fruits? And we're almost done. What are some of the fruits that grow on this root, on this trunk of religious root? Number one, you're more interested in judgment than forgiveness. How do you know you have a religious spirit, religious root? You're more interested in judgment than forgiveness. Do you remember the older brother of a prodigal son story? What do you mean you threw him a party? He needs to be punished. He needs to be a nobody for a long time before he can gain his way back for a party. What? More interested in punishing a sinner than restoring a sinner. That's what Pharisees were. How dare he eat with sinners? Religious spirit is more interested in justice and punishment instead of mercy and forgiveness. Remember a woman who was caught in adultery? Stone her. And Jesus is like, well, hold on. Let's see if we can restore her. Let's see if we can change, you know. No. Just stone her. Just kill her. Don't ask questions. She was caught in adultery. Stone her. How do you know you might have this spirit, religious spirit in you, and you need to uproot it? You give offerings in order to be seen by man. You give money, which is a good thing, but you do it because you want to be seen. You want pastor to know how much you gave. Be careful. You might have this religious spirit. you dress a certain way and you want everyone else to dress like you. If they don't, then they're not spiritual. You love to quote scriptures to show off. You have a divisive personality attitude. You whatever you go, you just create divisive lines. You're very judgmental. You see a speck in your brother's eye and you don't see a plank in your own. You look down on people. Pharisee and tax collector story. You hate people who worship differently than you. You demand perfection. Religious spirit has no room for grace. No room for grace. How do you get rid of this spirit out of your life? Number one, don't be a judgmental person. Do you judge people a lot? That means you took focus. The spirit has tricked you, saying you're okay. It's the other people. And God never told us to focus on other people. He said to look inside. Are you a judgmental person? Do you judge people? Don't you know what they did? Yeah, but what did you do? Oh, well, I didn't do nothing today. How do you uproot this religious spirit? Galatians chapter 6, and I don't think you guys have this, but I just want to feel like reading it. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says this. Brethren, if a man is overtaken by any sin, you who are spiritual, restore such one with a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. How do you remove this spirit out of your life? When you see somebody who messed up, you want to restore them. You don't want to punish and judge them. You want to restore them with a spirit of gentleness. You be gentle with them, loving with them, kind with them. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the love of Christ. For if anyone thinks of himself to be something when he is nothing, he is deceiving himself. That's what religious spirit does. It makes you think like you're something. Like you're some spiritual guru. And Paul says, when you're nothing, you're just deceived. Because it's not through religious spirit that we conquer. It's through love. Love is fulfillment of all the law. Hallelujah. Are you blessed today? I want you to close your eyes and bow your head right now. Thank you, Father. If you found yourself, which I did as well, having that religious root, Father says, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, He will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So right now, Father, as we come to You, we ask You to uproot that root of religion out of our life, God. We don't want to act and go through the motions. We want to have connection with You. We want to know You. We want to love You. We want to experience You, God. We don't want to so much worry about our neighbor and what he's doing, but we want to have that relationship with You, God. Restore us, God, to the true knowledge of You. Make this church full of love, God. Make this church that's focusing on loving sinners, God. Loving them enough to bring them closer to Jesus. Help us, Lord, be like You. Help us to go on the highways and byways and find those who are lost and bring them closer to You. Father, I pray that this church would be a church when a sinner walks in, somebody who doesn't know You, they don't feel judged or condemned, God, but they feel the love, God. And it's the love of God that leads them to repentance and to the growth. That's where we want to be, God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Keep your eyes closed. If you're here for the first time and you don't know Jesus yet, but you like what you heard about Jesus. Jesus is a friend of sinners. That's what they said about Him. And you don't like religion. And let me tell you, we don't either. But the reason He has brought you here is because He loves you and He wants to come in into your heart. It says that He stands at the door of your heart knocking. And the Bible says whoever opens the door, He will come in and have a relationship and have a feast with Him. So if you don't have a relationship with God, today is the day. Today is your opportunity. I'm going to count to three. And on the count of three, would you raise your hand and raise it high if you want to give your life to Jesus? If you backslid and you want to restore the relationship with God, you want to start over, you just want to say, from this day on, I want to follow you again. On a count of three, raise your hand and raise it high. God loves you. He's passionately in love with you. He cares for you. The emptiness that you feel, He wants to come and fill. Nothing else can fill that except Him. On a count of three. One, two, three. Please raise your hand. One hand, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Repeat it to me. Say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. From this day on, I believe that you are my Lord and Savior. From this day, I believe and receive a new life in Christ. From this day on, I am saved. My sins are forgiven. And I'm living for God. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church, clap your hands and celebrate God.